Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the program. It's Wednesday, July the 12th, 2017. If you're listening on another day, please
make an adjustment.
I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. I have to make a pitch real quick before we get into the heavy news. Okay, some folks on Facebook, they ask, What is Tim drinking? What is Walker drinking? Or
they
whoever?
Ask it in a way like, what is Tim drinking? Obviously saying things that don't make sense.
That's right. No. They wonder what we have in these cups, and I have to brag, it's American Family Coffee. So you see where that went there?
Yes.
So if folks want to drink the same coffee that makes us so smart on here, then they can buy it from American Family Coffee.
Duly noted. Walker Wildman, you're a good salesman.
If you want to know what I'm drinking, I have to cover the label. I'm drinking bottled water.
Hey, let me just say this. We never talk about this, but why you ask, Walker, why you brought this subject up, we make flavored coffee, several different kinds of flavored coffee here, and we sell it, and people buy it, and so that's not – that's one that – God didn't call my dad 40 years ago to get in the flavored coffee business. Mm-hmm. It just happened that we got into this. And
we don't make it in the basement. I mean, this is
No.
We have a basement?
No, we have a basement. Chris Woodward. Chris, good morning. And we'll get to the top news in just a minute. But this is important, Chris.
Yes.
That is, let me just say this. We got into this because we're able to buy this coffee from Christian brothers and sisters who have coffee farms in foreign countries.
Yeah, these are Christian people.
Yeah, that's the easiest way to describe it. That's what interested us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it may help us a little bit financially, not very much at all, but it still helps them. And it's,
yeah.
And a lot of people like flavored coffee. Let me just tell you something. In my humble, if you're a coffee drinker and you order the Peru, that's what it's called. What's it called, Walker?
Peru.
It's called Peru, but is that the only name it's known as?
Yeah, because it's from Peru.
We're geniuses.
I see how we named it?
We named it after the country it came from.
And I'm going to tell you, you guys have so impressed me, both you and Walker, okay? Now, I've tried coffee twice in my life. Once probably 30 years ago, and once 2 years ago, my wife said, you really need to learn how to like coffee because it's supposed to be good for you.
Yeah.
Just listening to you two guys, next week, I'm going to start
on
trying.
On this program.
Wow. I'm going to
do
start,
it live?
I'll do it live.
Okay. This is
I'll
great.
Start trying to make myself
week.
Like coffee.
So, Walker, let's
Monday.
Write this down. Monday. Ed's committing to Monday.
Okay.
Maybe at the top of the program, Ed will bring a cup of coffee in here.
Yeah. Okay.
I would recommend the Peru.
I want to try the Peru. Mm-hmm.
The Peru is delicious. It's got a great flavor. And I'm just going to say this to our listeners. You try the Peru and you don't like it, then you can give us your money back. All right?
That was backwards there,
I think. Backwards. We'll give them their money back, you mean?
No, I said that on purpose. we ain't giving you no refund. If you don't like it, throw it in the garbage.
Yeah.
Okay? Because it's too much trouble for us to give you a refund.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, it's a very inexpensive coffee, and
I'm going to try it.
Okay. All right, Walker, how can they, if people are listening right now and they want to say, well, Tim, I'm going to give that Peru flavor a shot, and I'll go on Tim's recommendation. What do they need to do?
Well, they need to go to afastore.net. That's afastore.net. You'll see the coffee tab. Click on coffee, and there you can find all the different flavors that we drink here at American Family Association.
Do you see Peru on there?
I do.
Okay, so it's simple as 1, 2, 4. Go ahead, Walker. Tell them.
So when you go to afastore.net, click on the coffee tab, you'll find all the flavors there. Also, we have a coffee tumbler, meaning a stainless steel coffee tumbler. It's not this.
It's not this coffee mug?
No, but it's like it's a version of a Yeti. Folks, the Yeti cups are big.
Oh, okay.
So it's not Yeti, it's an offering.
You can get that too? Get your AFR
and
coffee.
And I'm going to buy a mug so I can drink the coffee in it next Monday.
$7.99, I think.
I'll do it.
You can watch it on Facebook Live. Coffee.
Dun, all right, dun, Walker, dun. What are we doing on Facebook today as Ed calls it, this here show?
We are live streaming on the Today's Issues Facebook page. You can go there, watch the show, listen, and comment live. And you can also read all the news stories that are discussed here on the show.
So go to our Today's Issues Facebook page and comment or watch the show there. And it's a gathering place for a lot of AFR Today's Issues listeners, and we appreciate each and every one of you. So check that out, our Facebook page. Chris Woodward is sitting in for Fred Jackson. What's Fred doing?
He had a dentist appointment, so he is presumably under some sort of knife at the moment.
I guess that was none of my business. I probably shouldn't ask you that, but I just wondered why he wasn't here. So he says he's at the dentist?
Yes.
Nothing illegal, though, so that's good. He's not meeting with the Russians.
No colluding.
He's not meeting at a Russian dentist, is he?
And for some reason, the words going through my mind are, I'm not just a dentist.
Right, I thought of that myself. I'm glad you brought it up. Cause
out of the misfits?
Yeah, yes. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
All right, so Fred's at the dentist, and Chris is filling in ably. Chris, what's leading the news today?
You know, the big talking point, there's two things at the moment, I think, really kind of dominating the news cycle. We've got Donald Trump Jr.'s quote-unquote collusion, that's what a lot of news outlets and pundits are calling it, with the Russians to try to get some dirt on Hillary Clinton. A Russian, yes. The big thing playing out right now as we speak, there's a confirmation hearing playing out for Christopher Wray. That's the man President Trump nominated to be FBI director. If confirmed, he would replace James Comey. There's an interim director at the moment. But if confirmed, Christopher Wray would replace James Comey as FBI director. It appears really there's not been a lot of fireworks with this hearing. The opening remarks from Senators Grassley and Feinstein at the Senate Judiciary Committee seem to be very high on Mr. Wray, which might be why President Trump nominated him, seemingly out of the blue.
What's his background?
He is an FBI guy. He's been with the Bureau for a very long time, I believe even before Comey. I want to say he's out of the Atlanta area, or at least he worked for the FBI in the southern region. So he would presumably replace Comey.
Okay.
The thing a lot of people are going to be talking about, though, is the Donald Trump Jr. situation. We have a clip last night. Donald Trump Jr. was on Hannity talking about the email exchange and meeting with the Russian lawyer who may or may not have had ties at some point in the past with the Kremlin. It's about a minute long.
Let me ask a hypothetical, and I hate hypothetical questions, but I think it's relevant in this case. Mm-hmm. If the meeting resulted in information that you felt in any way was illegal or compromising or collusion, to use the media's term?
I said it earlier, 100%. I would bring it to the proper authorities. So there's nothing that I would do to ever endanger this country. I think the reason we fought so hard during this campaign, whether it was my father and the work that he put into it, whether it was the rest of our family and the efforts that we put into it, and you know those efforts well, it's because we'd do anything for this country. So we're never going to put that in jeopardy, ever.
So this, as far as you know, are all the emails that exist on this case, and you don't think there's any other one?
I do not think there's anything else. We've scoured it thoroughly just to be sure. But there isn't anything else there.
All right. And there was no follow-up. I think this is important. No follow-up with any of them. Never heard from the woman again.
It was such a nothing. There was no reason to follow up. It was a waste of time.
I'll tell you what I would do, what advice I would give Donald Trump Jr. in this situation. We're assuming that most people listening are at least familiar with the story that's been out the last 24 hours. I would tell Donald Trump Jr. to get on the phone with Hillary Clinton. Find out the company that she used to clean her server and smash her phones and get rid of her emails. And I would just tell Donald Trump Jr., if you got any problem with the FBI or anybody who wants to investigate this, get it from her where she went to destroy all her evidence against her and go from there. Obviously, my joke has fallen completely flat.
No, I
think it's a great idea.
I think it's a
great idea. Oh, y'all think I'm serious.
Oh, yeah.
No. Crane had a guest on last night. It's one of his regulars on Crane Durham's Nothing But Truth. Arnold Allard, he's a writer, columnist, and he made the point that, listen, if we're going to hold the Trumps to a certain standard, we have to do the same thing to the Clintons. And he brought up the fact that they said initially, my emails were nothing but Chelsea's wedding plans and yoga routines. We've learned since then that that was not what they were emailing. Yeah. And nobody remembers or wants to talk about that.
Yeah. Here's what happened, what I can detect. And listening to Donald Trump Jr. right there. In 2016, Donald Trump Jr. was, they were working, it was a full, in the middle of the campaign. I think his nomination had already been secured in the Republican Party. So they were staring the face off with Clinton in November down for the presidential election. And somebody emailed him, was it the woman? The lawyer?
The woman.
Did she personally email him asking for a meeting? Or
that
somebody representing her?
No, it was a middle. There was a middleman.
Okay, there was a middleman.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, basically this person says, hey, this lawyer wants to meet with you. She's from Russia. Mm-hmm. She didn't represent the Kremlin, I guess.
That's her claim.
Yeah. And she's got dirt on Hillary. I'm paraphrasing now. I know I probably shouldn't paraphrase in a situation like this. But basically, she's got dirt on Hillary Clinton, and it will be advantageous to president. I mean, to your dad. But isn't that what it said?
Basically, to paraphrase everything that I would do.
And
agree
he
with
and
that.
He responds. How does he respond?
Well, he's kind of hesitant to do it, and he even pointed out in the interview last night with Hannity that this lady was a practicing attorney back in the early 2000s. So it's been years
since she was
even officially in that capacity.
So he met with. So in the email, he says, "I love it," and then something about setting up the meeting. So they had a meeting for about 20 minutes, I guess, or so, and nothing so far has been. Donald Trump Jr. turned over all his emails. He said,
"Right,
this is much more than Secretary Clinton did in this situation." And evidently, they were talking about Walker about adoption.
Right, one of those sanctions removed.
Yeah,
right.
for Russian children.
That was the intention, apparently, of Natalia Veselnitskaya.
That's your name.
Who's the Russian?
You did that
attorney.
So well, and just with one take.
Began with a V.
He practiced.
So it begins with a V, like Vitagliano.
Wait until he has coffee.
right.
Then it's Veselnitskaya.
Anyway, they met, and
apparently the way she's saying now is, I never said that I had dirt on Hillary Clinton, but that's what it seems like in the emails. But apparently, whatever it was that she was promising, she wanted to switch gears.
You bring him to the table, and
then maybe talk about getting sanctions. Change with regards to adopting Russian babies.
All right, here's what I want to say, and then you guys can feel free to chime in. This is, the fact that he would say love it in an email about having dirt on Hillary Clinton, I would just say it better be thick, black, dark dirt, because all the dirt out there on Hillary Clinton...
Pretty thick, dark, and
muddy and slimy already, okay? So that's number one. The fact that he would say love it in an email about something that could be damaging to the opponent of his father is a pretty natural human reaction.
Yep.
I would say, and I would say also this, folks, campaigns look for dirt on each other all the time, especially something as nasty as this presidential election was.
Well,
like.
The first question I want to ask is the information true? If it's true about Hillary Clinton, then why does it matter where it comes from? Second of all, I watched Jay Sekulow being interviewed by Matt Lauer, and I forget what's the lady's name that does those. Anyway, they're grilling him about this.
Jay Sekulow?
Jay Sekulow, who's the president's attorney.
Right.
Yes.
And I wanted to think, Matt, were you this dogged when all the information was coming out about the Clinton Foundation.
Right.
We're talking about not just someone wanting to pass along some information that may or may not be true. We're talking about foreign governments paying money to the Clinton Foundation to get access to the presumed next president. Matt Lauer, did you care about that story?
Yeah.
No.
And also, and to go along with that and be more specific, there's even the Clintons' own emails, their advisors' emails saying Qatar has a $1 million birthday check for Mr. President Clinton, for Mr. Bill Clinton, they would like to deliver to you. Well, that was when she was Secretary of State. So that means she does dealings with all these countries in the Middle East, and they're writing the birthday checks.
James Comey and the FBI and the Justice Department, as far as we know, never even investigated the Clinton Foundation.
And that's why when Matt Lauer gets all outraged, I just sit here and go, this is why I've never watched him except clips like this just for news purposes. Mm-hmm. But these people are crooked.
I would just, you know, I was talking to Allison, my wife, about this, and in my most cynical moment, here's how I view this. In my most cynical, it's probably about 10 o'clock on my patio, okay, at night.
You're done.
After a long day, and we're just letting it fly.
Yeah.
You know, Allison and I, we're just from the gut.
It's like truth serum.
You say, there's nobody to filter it, and we don't care that each other hear it.
Yeah.
But I told her last night, you know, I said, you know what? The Obama administration, President Obama and the Clintons have done so much over these years, one thing after another, after another, after another, that have been scandalous and underhanded and if not illegal, although they never were, you know, a lot of it never was proven in court. And I'm saying, so you're going to give me Donald Trump Jr. saying an email saying I love it about something that what turned out to be a 15 or 20 minute meeting with nothing he could do really to impact the election with this information, was it even ever used? I said, you know, I don't even want to hear it. Once you start telling me something on the level of flying a plane from Germany or wherever it was to Iran in the middle of the night with how much money?
Was it $400 million?
$400 million and on an unmarked plane to pay off the Iranians so you can get a nuclear deal out of this thing. And then the guy who brokered the deal with us told him he had to. Remember that? He said he admitted that there was some falsehoods in the deal with Iran that President Obama struck. You know, until you got something like that or on the level what the Clintons did with the emails and with the server, I don't want to hear this stuff. It makes no difference to me.
Well, to go back to what Ed was saying, where Matt Lauer should have held the Clintons or various Democrats to a standard, the same standard, you know, Obama, Clinton, Bill Clinton, Hillary, what have you, John Podesta, they know they can get away with things because the media, largely, the mainstream media, will never hold them to that standard. Now, I don't deny that this was not a big story last night. We had a lot of emails breaking, you know, reports on the emails breaking. A lot of this stuff was unconfirmed. But the networks last night, MRC Newsbusters did this analysis, as they normally do. The evening news last night, so we're just talking about the broadcast TV networks, were just consumed by coverage of Don Jr.'s emails. It dominated 54% of evening coverage. Combined, the networks aired 57 minutes and 18 seconds worth of news. From that, they spent 31 minutes and 10 seconds talking about Don Jr.'s email correspondence in some fashion. CBS Evening News had one of the larger imbalances. They actually spent 12 minutes and 57 seconds talking about Don Jr. while devoting a minuscule 5 minutes and 44 seconds for all other news stories.
Yeah,
that's why the Democrats know they will never they'll be able to get away with things.
One thing Kellyanne Conway said, what she was being sarcastic, but I almost thought it could be a possibility. She was on with like Chris Wallace or somebody, or maybe on CNN, and she said, you know, I think the media outlets get paid like $1 or $5 for every time they say the word Russia. She said, I'm convinced that y'all get paid for saying Russia, because they say Russia. Usually when you introduce a story like that, you say the name of the country like once or twice, and then you get into the details of it. But they say Russia, Russia, Russia probably 100 times in 5 minutes. And so she was joking when she said that, but I'm like, I wonder if somebody is getting paid.
The James O'Keefe video with the CNN producer, we're doing this for ratings. Well, how do you make money? Right. You do it on your ratings. So if you talk about Russia right. over and over and over again, like Marsha Brady, you know, yeah. things like that, then you do arguably make money off things like that.
Yeah.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. This is Tim Wildman with Evan Tagliano, Walker Wildman, and Chris Woodward. Chris is with the news department here at American Family Radio News and OneNewsNow.com. This will be a week or so in the news, probably. This, and you know, the liberal media keep trying to talk about it. Hey, you know, I'm not, you know, if something was done illegally, then, you know, we need, the American people need to know about
right.
it. But thus far, what you have in this, in the things that have happened that have been reported about the, quote, collusion, don't amount to there's no meat there.
There's no there. But it's all yeah. about how you say it. Now Jay Sekulow, now he's the president's attorney, so he, you know, he may or may not be, you know, making his client sound better.
Right.
You know, that's the job.
His
job. But he said, listen, there's no law broken here. He said, we have all the facts. We have all the emails as far as we know. We know what it was about. And he said, there's nothing illegal about collusion, but the media keeps saying, and in fact, Matt Lauer said, come on, Jay, this is proof of an intent to collude.
No.
Well, so what?
Right. Right.
That's like
right.
saying you intended to go to Subway and buy a sandwich at lunch.
Yeah. Didn't you?
Oh, didn't you? To tell the truth.
Right.
Well, yes, I did. Well, there's intent to buy a sandwich. Well, but there's nothing illegal about it.
Right. The
difference now, if there's something illegal about going
right.
to
right.
a foreign national and getting information
right.
on an opposition candidate.
If he did that.
If he did that, if that's illegal, then prove it and punish him.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the thing. For example, with the Attorney General Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton meeting on the tarmac a week before she gets excused, if you could say that, that was unethical. I don't know many people calling that illegal because I didn't hear many people calling that illegal or incriminating. But with Hillary Clinton's email scandal, that the first evidence was incriminating evidence. Mm-hmm. It was that she was operating a private email server while Secretary of State
right.
in an
doing
unsecured
state
location.
Doing government business on there.
Right, which immediately violates federal law.
Right,
so,
right.
But with this, like you're saying, it's so-and-so met with so-and-so, so-and-so met with the other person. Okay,
I'm
well, where's
you.
The where's the
right.
federal law?
Well, but
open?
It fits the narrative, as we've been saying right
mm-hmm.
along,
yeah.
that the Democrats and their Pravda right. outreach, which is the mainstream media, the narrative is that President Trump is an illegitimate president because the Russians helped him cheat to beat the woman who should
right.
have been president, Hillary Clinton.
And
so every little piece mm-hmm. adds to that narrative, even though they can't prove any of it.
Right. And mind you, Jay Johnson himself, former Homeland Security Director, has said time and again, there is no evidence that machines were hacked and votes were changed. Basically, what Democrats, and they're very good at this, they use terms like collusion, things that people think they know what that means. Or they'll talk about Russian interference in the U.S. election as if it's somebody actually hacking the electronic voting machine many of us use nowadays. They do that because they're going to try to sway people's opinion and lead them to believe something was happening. At the end of the day, right now, Democrats, Hillary Clinton, and others are upset because their emails were hacked, things they were saying in emails were exposed, and they're mad because they got caught. That's what
yeah.
it boils down to.
Yeah. So the lesson is don't say anything in an email.
And watch what you tweet.
And watch what you tweet.
Well, you know, this is just another, it's just not, there's not anything there that changed the vote.
Right. Yeah.
In Michigan or Wisconsin or Pennsylvania.
Even if it did change the vote, the question is, was
I'm
it
talking
true?
About physically changing
yes,
the
right,
vote
right.
with a computer hack, for example.
Yes,
but
yeah.
you're saying...
Yeah, even if people did find out something that came via Russia, I want to know, was it true? And if it's true about Hillary Clinton and people were outraged and then
right.
didn't vote for her, why does it matter that it came from Russia?
Right, right, right. right. All right, we shall take a break. Sandy Rios will be with us in a few minutes. Also, Ray Comfort's coming up next from Living Waters Ministry. We'll be back momentarily.
on the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. One of the places we visit on one of the days on our tour of Israel is the Shepherd's Fields. Now, this is a place in Bethlehem. You can look out on any given day and see shepherds with their sheep, as if it were 2,000 years ago during the birth of Christ. So that's a very special place that we visit. Yeah, the terrain would be the same. You can just picture yourself being there the night the angels sang about the glory of the coming of the Lord. That's just one of the places we visit on one of the days. So if you would like to join us on our March 8th through the 16th tour of Israel, we'd love to have you. Just go to the website, twholyland.com, for more information. twholyland.com. Or for a free brochure sent to you in the mail, call us at 800-FAMILIES. That's 1-800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, option 5.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. If the Democrats and the mainstream media have their way, Donald Trump Jr. would be tried, convicted, and executed for treason. The left is absolutely unhinged over these allegations of collusion with the Russians. Allegations, by the way, that are still unfounded. Based on the reporting by the New York Times, there is still no hard evidence that Donald Trump Jr. broke any laws. His meeting with the Russians may have been ill-advised, maybe even downright idiotic. But as near as I can tell, it was all legal. It's a moot point anyway, because now the special prosecutor is getting involved. Lord only knows what he's going to dig up. So don't be surprised if the New York Times reports that as a child, Donald Jr. favored Boris and Natasha over Rocky and Bullwinkle. It's a farce, perpetrated by a national news media that's determined to bring down this presidency. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. You can watch the show live if you want to, and who wouldn't? At Today's Issues Facebook page. Today's Issues Facebook page. Check that out, and you can comment on the show there as well. Walker Wildman is handling that for us. And before we go to our guest, Ray Comfort, he's going to be joining us in just a moment. The lead story on the Drudge Report is about, a prayer meeting that was held yesterday in the Oval Office.
Yeah, I'm just learning about this in the last few minutes on the front page of the drudgereport.com. This is a news article from the Daily Mail, which I will post on the Facebook page, but it is essentially an article talking about how last night evangelical leaders, specifically the Faith Advisory Council, met in the Oval Office and at the White House, and they laid hands on President Trump and prayed over him for a short period of time. But I just thought that was very encouraging. You know, with all that's going on in our country and a lot of the pressure that's on the administration, for President Trump to be willing to have Christians come in and lay hands on him and pray for him, that is a really good sign.
He's very friendly to a lot of people we know. I don't know the president personally, but very friendly to a lot of the Christian leaders in our country. The funny thing about it to me is you got such a diverse – I'm sitting here looking at the picture – and half these people I know personally, that were at the prayer meeting yesterday in the Oval Office for President Trump. The fact that he would welcome them there.
Mm-hmm.
And with Vice President Pence is a very encouraging sign.
Knowing what the media wants to mock this kind of thing,
right.
Mainstream.
But President
media.
Trump's used to being mocked. So he doesn't care that Christians are coming to the White House to pray for him, and he may be attacked for it. But what amazes me is this is a very, you talk about a cross section.
I'm looking over his left shoulder is Paula White, over his right shoulder is Robert Jeffress.
These are people that wouldn't worship together normally.
Harry Jackson, I see in the very back.
You have
there.
Black, white, you have men, women, tall, short,
Latino,
well,
all kinds
about,
of different denominations.
I'm talking about you got your charismatic.
Dr. Jim Garlow's there.
And your Baptist.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got your.
Yeah, I see Jim Garlow right there in the front.
You see your Presbyterians in there anywhere? They're Methodists?
I don't know sure all of those people. I know some of them. I mean, not personally, but
Ralph
know who
Reed,
they are.
I'm seeing his picture. Mm-hmm.
You know. Here's what I think is happening. This is just as an outsider, okay? I think, and we were talking about this during the break, I think God is dealing with President Trump, okay? In a way like he dealt with Abraham Lincoln when he was in office. I'm not saying the two are comparable or anything like that, but I think God is dealing with him as a human being out of God's. I think. I really do. Because Donald Trump is very proud, and some would say arrogant man, okay? Although there is something in him, I guess because of the way he was raised, his mom taking the church, that is respectful to religion, to Christianity.
Right.
I think God's dealing with him because all the pressure that's on him, some of it's self-inflicted. I that's just what it seems like to me, because the fact that these men and women are a part of his sphere of influence, I think God's doing something in his life.
Right.
But that's an outsider's look.
No,
I have no idea.
I tend to agree with you. I did hear him talk. I mentioned this before. At that April meeting a year ago in New York City with about 1,000 other Christians who were there to hear what he had to say. It was hosted by Mike Huckabee and Ben Carson. That meeting was, and. I would just say that President Trump, to be not one of us, so to speak, he has, as you say, reverence for the things of God as he understands them. And his understanding, a lot of it goes back to his childhood, which he references his mother taking him to a Presbyterian church there in New York City, in the Queens area, I think, where he was raised. And he talks about she made him go to Sunday. She made him go to Sunday school every week, and he talks about that. Now, we understand as Christians here, going to church doesn't make you one.
Right.
Okay. But you got to understand, for somebody maybe who has not been active in church for a long time, like President Trump, in his mind, he's thinking back to, this is my identity with the Christian church, and I still have a lot of respect for it, even though I haven't lived it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think God is dealing with him.
And I think, too, we should pray for the pastors that have this position and this ability now.
Yeah.
But we should also ourselves as individuals be in prayer for President Trump, Vice President Pence, and the entire administration, as well as Republicans and Democrats in Congress, because they're in charge of the government. Pray that God will give them wisdom, good health. Let's get this thing going and actually make America, good again,
So you've lowered your standard, Chris. You're not going for great anymore.
Don't just assume
your favorite pastor that you listen to on
Chris,
our great network.
You're talking about it in a moral sense. Make America good again.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
Morally good.
Yeah. Well, we used to be a God-fearing country for the most part. We're not anymore.
Right.
Hopefully we'll return to that one day. Well, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. One of our good friends in ministry is Ray Comfort. Ray is with Living Waters and has just been communicating, helping Christians understand how to witness for Christ. That's been a main emphasis of Ray's ministry over the years. And he's got a new movie out. Anything that Living Waters and Ray Comfort put out, you're going to want to see because it has not just entertainment value, but it helps Christians understand how to do something, whether it be affect the pro-life cause, minister to homosexuals, or in this case, Ray's tackling a subject that's very common. We'll let him tell you about it. Ray, a earthquake-free day there in Southern California?
Yeah, I don't want to chew into my time, but I've got to tell you something about Mike Pence. I sent a text to my staff, or I wrote a text to my staff, and I said, we must remember to pray for Mike Pence. And I looked down, and auto-spelling had kicked in, and it said, we must remember to pray for Mike Pence. I sent it anyway.
I'm sorry, Ray. I usually laugh out loud at what you... Did I miss something there?
Yeah. I asked my staff to pray for my pants, my trousers. That's what orders.
Oh, that is... That's hilarious,
oh,
actually.
Oh, my pants.
My pants. I got you. I'm
yeah, it's my accent. I don't talk
properly. Oh, man. That's right.
And that's more than just polite laughter right
that's
there.
Right.
Once
that
we found
funny.
Out what it was you were saying, that right there that's is right. funny. But I don't care who you are.
Had to be translated for us. Hey, tell us what you're up to now, folks. Randy? I mean, Ray, right. whatever your name is.
Okay, Mike?
Eric. You got me got me flustered here. I was focusing so intently on trying to translate New Zealand to American Southern English there that I mispronounced your name. Ray, tell us what's going on.
We have produced a movie called Exit, The Appeal of Suicide, and it's because there's an epidemic of suicide throughout not only our country, but throughout the world. Most people don't realize that. And if a celebrity commits suicide, it's news, the media pick it up. But more than 42,000 Americans commit suicide each year. 42,000. Suicide is the second leading killer in college students. 1 in 12 high school students has attempted suicide. And so we took this on, and it's a unique movie because it looks at it from a different direction. You know, scientists, experts have no idea what causes chronic depression, which leads to suicide, and they can't treat it because they can't diagnose it. They can't treat it. All they can do is treat the symptoms. And so what happens, you get people put on these drugs that just knock them out, and many still take their lives. So we've taken this head on, and we're very excited about it.
How do people watch this?
Oh, theexitmovie.com, theexitmovie.com.
Why do you think, are those numbers higher than in past years, those numbers of people suffering?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. What Newsweek called it epidemic proportions. It's worse than epidemic. And, you know, the reason I think there's such an increase, and it's going to get worse, is because, as you said, in the 1950s, America was God-fearing. Most people believed in God. Time magazine said 98% of Americans believed in the existence of God. And there was a measure of kind of fear of God in the sense that the Ten Commandments were adhered to. You know, you don't kill yourself. Mm-hmm. The Ten Commandments movie, Cecil Ben Amell's movie, was the Star Wars of the 1950s. It was the biggest selling movie of right through the 50s. And so there were the two restraints for suicide. You feared God, you believed in God. And you had hope. Most people hoped they'd make it to heaven. Maybe, you know, not all of them would, but most people did. Well, there's been a revival in atheism. Those two restraints have been removed. People don't fear God any longer. They don't believe in God's existence. There's no right, no wrong. And there's a kind of honeymoon with sin by this generation. I mean, if there's no God and there's no right and wrong, anything goes. Fornication, pornography, adultery, homosexuality, blasphemy. Nothing's right or nothing's wrong. But with that comes a negative. Then suicide isn't wrong, and it becomes an option when the inevitable storms of life hit for this generation. I mean, I wouldn't commit suicide because I fear God, and I've got a hope of eternal life. But when you don't fear God and you've got no hope, you're living a hopeless existence, then it becomes an option. And that's why so many young people are turning to suicide when things get tough. When the storms come, they find their houses are built on sand. And that's why this movie is so important, because it not only diagnoses what experts can't figure causes chronic depression. We've touched on the major reason people get chronically depressed, which they don't know, and we've been able to diagnose the answer, or give the answer, describe the cure in the gospel. And after months and months of researching it, throwing myself into a sea of information about suicide from experts and articles and videos, I've come to the conclusion, I've been resolved in my conclusion, that the only answer to this terrible dilemma is the gospel.
Ray, this is Walker here. As I watched the preview of your film and the trailer, I noticed that despite you look at social media and Hollywood, you think everybody's life is great, and that's kind of the appearance you get. But as you delved into in the film, not everything's always great for individuals. Mm-hmm. And what would you say, what are people thriving for deep down once you get past, you know, folks admitting that they have struggles in their life, they have depression and problems? What ultimately, and I think I know the answer to this, are folks thriving for?
Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 2, verse 14, 15, that every single human being is haunted by the fear of death. Mm. It doesn't matter who you are, president, celebrity, man on the street, every single person is held captive to the fear of death. That's what the scriptures say. And until you come to Christ, that fear of death is going to haunt you. It haunts. In the movie, we've got celebrity after celebrity saying, I'm scared of dying. I'm scared of dying. I don't know what to do about it. It's coming up. And it's like we're all part of the ultimate statistic, this great elephant in the room that's going to stomp on us, and nobody wants to talk about it. No one seeks a cure. No one wants to get rid of the elephant. Well, the elephant was got rid of 2,000 years ago. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is like the difference between someone jumping without a parachute at 20,000 or 10,000 feet and someone jumping with a parachute. If you told me I had to jump out of a plane 10,000 feet without a parachute, I would be utterly terrified. That's what death is like for the non-Christian. Can't even think about it. But for the Christian, he's been given the parachute of the Savior. The Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know if I jumped out of a plane 10,000 feet with a parachute, I'd go, oh, I'm saved. And I'd have faith in that parachute, and I'd cling to it as my very life. And that's the difference between the unsaved and the saved, the fear that haunts the unsaved people and the faith that lifts up the saved above those fears. Faith and fear are absolute opposites. And you see the Philippian jailer try to commit suicide. Remember what Paul said? He said, do yourself no harm. We're still here. He was going to kill himself because he saw no option. All the prisoners were gone as far as he was concerned. The doors were open, and he had to suffer the consequence of whatever prisoners got out. If they're going to be crucified under Roman law, in the morning he's going to be crucified. So he goes to kill himself with a sword, and Paul says, do yourself no harm. We're still here. And there's the reason no one should commit suicide. You negate the miraculous power of God. If you kill yourself, you take everything in your own hands, you say, God can't help me with this. You just say it's hopeless. But God can give hope to the hopeless. He did that with Moses at the Red Sea, Daniel in the lion's den, and even with Job. When Job said, God, kill me, I've had enough, he didn't say, I'm going to kill myself. He left that prerogative up to God because he feared God underneath it all. And so this movie provides tremendous hope in a way that's kind of unique, and we're very excited about it. And our YouTube channel has got over 45 million views, over 45 million. So we have an inroad right into the world. We don't have to have mass crusades and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to get unsaved people to a stadium. We've got this platform, and all we want Christians to do is help us reach the lost. And that's why we want them to go to the exitmovie.com.
So you're asking our listeners to go to that website. And it's a website, or is it YouTube, or what is it exactly?
It's a website. For the next month, we ask Christians to download it, see the movie a month early. They pay $20, they get the movie, they get a free book called How to Battle Depression and Suicidal Thoughts. It's a very moving book, and another book by Todd Friel. And they help us have the financial ability to create movies of this caliber. And then in a month's time, we put it on YouTube, on a YouTube channel, and that's where we want Christians to go back and push it throughout the Internet. Because the big thing with anything you do isn't getting it done. I mean, if you want to become an author, just write a book. But your problem is distribution. It's getting it out there. Christian bookstores won't take it. They won't put it in their window. And you'll end up with 3,000 books under your bed, and your friends won't even want to come and talk to you because you'll say, have you read my book? And they haven't. And so the problem is distribution, and that's where Christians come in. They help us, and that's why we've got more than 45 million views on the YouTube channel, because Christians see how important it is to get these films out there because they contain the gospel.
All right, so go to theexitmovie.com. Theexitmovie.com, and check it out. We've been talking to our...
It's very good.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah, anything Ray and his team do there at Living Waters...
It's mesmerizing, and I'll just say this because I know we gotta go. But whenever you, and Ray does this consistently with his movies like this, Man on the Street, mm-hmm. but you're just drawn in because he strikes up conversations with these total strangers. Most of them are are young people. And these people open up. It's just, it's extraordinary, yeah, the kind of ministry that God has given to Ray Comfort. And but I'll tell you, it encourages, I think it's encouraging to Christians to start some conversations with people, because there are people out there who, well, just want someone to talk to,
right,
and we've got something to say.
One of the reasons they open up, Ray is so physically imposing.
And by the way, I was in that photo with the president. I was standing at the back. It just couldn't.
Ray is, what are you, he's, you're 5'7", if you're anything, right?
5'11"-ish. 5'11"-ish.
5'11"-ish.
Is that evangelistically speaking?
I have a stature not unlike Ray.
What are you, 165 pounds of muscle and...
Yeah, yeah, right through the head. But you wait till you see my glorified body. You guys
are... Oh, that's
duly
good.
Noted.
Well, listen, Ray, we wish you the best with the movie. We wanted to... You're right, there's so many people that are suffering from hopelessness and despair. And we can all look around and see why that would happen, mm-hmm, you know, yeah, and how that would happen. And we know that God, the God of the Bible, His Son Jesus Christ, is the ultimate answer to purpose and meaning and to salvation.
Yeah.
And right, that's the reason that Living Waters exists, is to have people come to know the Lord. And that's, Ray uses all these movies to draw people in. Ray, appreciate you being on with us. Take care, and we will talk to you next time.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, Tim.
Okay, bye-bye.
You're welcome. God bless. Bye-bye.
Ray Comfort joining us from SoCal there. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You know what we need to do? We really need to start every... Ed's going to drink coffee next week.
Monday, I'm going to try it.
Chris, I'm going to assign you the job of teaching our listening audience Russian. So,
Nien. Yes. Thank you. Yes. I'll get started on that.
Can you give us a sentence next Monday, okay, when Ed does his coffee?
Well, and because we're talking about Russia, here, let's start off with a
little music.
A little music here.
Yeah.
The Russian national anthem.
There you go.
I must break you.
Okay.
Rocky IV.
All right. One word. You got one word in Russian?
Нет.
Нет.
Means no.
Comrade.
How do you say that?
Нет.
Is that N-I-E-T-E?
N-Y-E-T. Нет.
N-Y-E-T.
Okay.
Moscow.
All right. Comrade. It's like, okay. Like no. Is that what it means?
It means no. Нет. Okay.
All right, then. Thank you, Chris.
Da means
writing
yes.
It down now. Learn Russian.
Learn Russian. By Monday.
Does the ministry allow for continuing educational?
You got Thursday? All day Friday. All day. I mean, if you're going to...
I will not disappoint you, sir.
Just get Putin on. Just get Putin on.
I'll do it.
Yeah,
Vlad.
Yeah, okay. Call Vlad.
Call Vlad.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Check out our Today's Issues Facebook page and comment there on the show. Watch the show if you would like to. We appreciate all of our listeners to American Family Radio. I know a lot of you listen early in the morning. Get your day started with Sandy Rios with the news of the day. Sandy hosts the show Sandy Rios in the Morning here on AFR. She also serves as Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association, which is the parent ministry of AFR, AFA is. And she joins us now. Sandy, good morning.
Good morning.
Sandy, I didn't get to hear the show. I heard a little bit of the show this morning.
I heard some of it on the way in.
And were you talking about the situation with Donald Trump Jr.?
Yes, I talk a lot about that.
If I would have listened, I would have heard you.
But you know what? You're the boss. You don't have to listen.
Well, I listen a lot, but then when I'm ordering the biscuit and sausage and biscuit, I have to listen to the lady, you know,
right.
tell me, ask me how many, ask me three times, do I want to upgrade my meal? And I'm sitting there, we've all had that experience,
yeah.
Have we, huh?
Yeah.
And finally you get to the point where you say, no. I just want my sausage and biscuit, ma'am. Thank you very much.
And then they spit in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't need that anyway. But anyway, Sandy, what do you make of this situation?
Well, it's very complex, Tim. Bottom line, I really think it's silly, another silly thing. And I'll tell you why. It is not illegal. Let me start with this. As far as I know, I just asked a bunch of experts. I'm not an expert. I'm an expert. I guess I know a lot of things, but I'm not an expert necessarily. It is not illegal for a government, say it's England, France, Israel, whatever country, to give information about something that they know to Americans to use in a campaign. That's not illegal. And so it's not shocking that Donald Trump Jr. would want to know if there is something, and trust me, there's plenty. I could rattle off a ton of things that have been collusions between the Democrats and Russia. Mm-hmm. There's nothing untoward about him wanting to have that information. If the Clintons are colluding and the Democrats with the Russians, wouldn't we want to know? I mean, if it's reliable information, there's nothing wrong with wanting it. And as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing wrong with meeting with her. The problem is that the thing that makes this even more complicated is that this Russian attorney, it appears, is connected to what's called Fusion GPS. Now, Fusion GPS is the organization that paid for Christopher Steele, the former British agent, to do that really salacious dossier on Donald Trump that was just completely fabricated. You remember that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, this Russian attorney, who either the person representing her, the PR guy, or she misrepresented herself, she is in some form or fashion connected to this Fusion GPS. So Fusion GPS has already been paid by the Democrats, and by the way, by the FBI, for this fake dossier they did on Donald Trump. Now they're presenting themselves to Donald Trump. At least she's presenting herself to Donald Trump Jr. and is connected to them as someone who has information on Hillary Clinton. It's kind of a double game, which is what the Russians play. Mm-hmm. I don't really think there's any there. I realize that the left are salivating. I think the Never Trumpers are salivating. Mm-hmm. I heard Charles Krauthammer last night going off on this because they are really... Their egos are tremendously bruised by Trump's effectiveness, I think, in office. And they just, any National Review is all kind of, remember, they were really Never Trumpers. Mm-hmm. I could do a whole list. The Blaze, I noticed when I read yesterday, Glenn Beck was one of his fiercest enemies.
Yeah.
And I think that many of our friends who were Never Trumpers, are eager to see something here because it would prove them right. I honestly don't think there's anything here.
I agree with you. You know, the other thing here is Donald Trump's actions the last 24 hours have not been that of a guilty man. Mm-hmm. All right. Normally, if you're guilty of something that potentially could be illegal, for example, mm-hmm. You go into hiding, you have no comment, you start making noise that you're lawyering up, and Donald Trump Jr., we're talking about what was explained as a 15 or 20 minute meeting with this lady that Sandy just described, and there was no evidence, at least yet, that anything was used that was provided to him. If it was
nothing was provided.
Right. But Donald Trump goes, you don't do an interview with, even if it is on a friendly media site like Hannity, if your lawyer tells you, no, shut up, shut down.
No comment.
You go to Manhattan, you lock yourself in an apartment for the next year
because
you're in trouble, big boy.
Yeah.
And nothing like that. He just came out and said, he even let the email chain go to the media, which included I love it comment. Yeah. Go ahead.
If you're going to collude with the Russians, would you do it in Trump Tower with the media holding court, standing outside the elevator, taking roll of everybody that goes in? Yeah. Would you do that? I'm asking.
I know. This is the old nothing burger.
It's been a big nothing burger.
Yeah. Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye. We will be back in 5 minutes after the news.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.